Welcome back. If you've just joined us, you're watching Stockwatch. And joining me in studio this evening are David Shapiro from Sassman Securities and Wayne McCurry from Ashburton Investments, the return of the prodigal wanderer. If you'd like to send us questions, please do SMS stock in the question to 41392. You can email stockwatch at bdtv.co.za or you can tweet at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag Stockwatch. David, Wayne,
Thank you.
To see you both. Yes, Wayne, especially,
nice
it's been far too long.
I know. But now Shapiro's going off.
I know. Can you just give us a break already?
I need the break.
Well, Wayne, you come back on a very rough day for the markets.
Yeah.
And it seems the epicenter of fear seems to be the United States, and
yes.
In particular the tech stocks.
Yes.
Were the markets just looking for an excuse,
yes.
Do you think, to sell off?
Yes. Look, the reason why the markets are falling is the shares are expensive. The trigger might be Donald Trump or the Facebook or whatever. That's a trigger. The reason why they're falling is they're expensive. And you are in, and we've spoken about this on numerous occasions, you're in the late part of a cycle where you experience rising interest rates, good economic news, but rising interest rates, and normally very expensive shares. Mm. So what's happening now, quite frankly, is entirely normal. Whether this is the start of a major correction, I doubt it. I think it's too early. That's just my personal view. But I mean, understand, it's just a view. I could be very wrong. So I think it's too early to get a major rout in the stock market. But make no mistake, as what happened in January as well, you know, the warning bell is ringing. Eh? This is very, very typical late cycle behavior.
I mean, early January, you had a huge rally, then that absolute crack
yeah.
What, the 12 to 13% correction in a matter of days.
Yeah.
Then kind of a retracement, and now sort of all the way up.
We're seeing things that are very unnerving. And I say unnerving because I was watching markets last night, and roundabout, I had my grandchildren there playing with him at 8 o'clock.
This is the modern day family picture, grandchildren
yeah.
at your feet.
Shapiro yeah. watching
Bloomberg
markets.
Couldn't wait for
Shapiro
them to go home.
Watching
you know?
Markets or watching
wanted
Bloomberg.
To go to bed. Yeah. Now they're sweet. It was lovely. But just playing with them, that when they went home, looked at the market, we were down maybe a few points after where we today, after you know, Monday's very, very strong rally. And suddenly, trap doors open, and the market, the next thing you know, the NASDAQ is down 3%, S&P is just falling. Those are scary moments. You're not sure what triggers them, but when we start to get those kind of movements, then you know you're in for a rough time, and this doesn't go away overnight. This is going to take some time to play its way through. I agree with Wayne. It's not going to be easy markets to make a living
yeah,
in
it's
this.
It's going to be hard to make money. I'm not saying the markets are going to crack. But the good years are clearly behind you.
Yeah. But it feels like South Africa just got a break. It just got a couple of good months, and now that's behind us too. And we're down 8% for the year?
Probably 8% for the probably 8% for the year, maybe even more from
the
peak that we saw in January.
Yeah.
But look, domestic South Africa should be okay. There's no massive excess overvaluation in that sector. Of course, it'll be negatively affected. But the downside on that is limited. 70% of our markets are global shares. They will be totally affected by what's happening with us.
And just the interest rate cut today, it didn't seem to have any impact whatsoever on the retailers or the bank
stocks. It was so well anticipated. In fact, it might have even been a little bit of a disappointing because there was a chance for a half a percent cut.
Yeah.
So the actual news might have been a bit disappointing. No, this was... I mean, I think it's the most anticipated interest rate cut I've ever known in markets.
Okay, because there is actually a question. Oh, it's just disappeared. Hold on, hang on. I shall bring it, asking particularly about the bank shares, saying, how can banks come down after a repo cut? Markets down 6% in a week. Why?
Well, I mean, they were anticipating a repo cut. And understand, the banking shares have run seriously hard. Eh? I mean, they've been the stellar performer, those in retailers, for a couple of months now.
Yeah.
And First Rand, literally a few months ago, was 42 bucks, and it went up to 76 or something. Yeah. So it's a strong run, eh? Mm.
But First Rand also, I think, came down yesterday about 3% or something. They were ex-dividend.
Yeah.
Adjust for that, they were still down 2%. So you started to see the sell-off yesterday, which followed through today. I think the most distressing were some of the assurers. Sanlam, which raised money.
But they
raised money, admitted it, diluted. They go down 7%, but then you get Discovery, MMI, Liberty, all of those.
So why did they all get a sort of
stock market
skittish?
Yeah. Well, when the market comes down, it affects
them. There's a couple of them. Discovery's at a very, very high PE, trading at a massive premium to, let's call it net asset value for want of a better word. And we've seen what happened to resilient also trading above NAV, so that could come down. The other ones are just geared to the share market because their profits effectively are geared to the share market.
I mean, there's a question Greg asks, which is very valid, I think, at the moment when you're seeing wilder and more volatile swings in the market. And he says, I have a portfolio which I scan through roughly every 6 months or so. I hold the following: Advitec, Aspen, Bidcorp, British American Tobacco, Discovery, EOH, Mediclinic, Mondi, MTN, Naspers, Richemont, Shoprite, and Woolworths. Are any of these no good for long-term holdings? So that's the first question. But is it a good idea to look at my portfolio so infrequently, twice a year, so as to keep from being tempted into decisions based on emotion?
Yeah, I think it's a very good idea. You've got to be very sure of the quality of the share you own, because that can change. I mean, make no mistake, a winner from 2 or 3 years ago is not necessarily a winner today. But it sounds like there's some very high quality stuff in there. You haven't got any banks, am I wrong there? That didn't sound...
No banks.
I think that's maybe a fault in your portfolio. You should maybe have some banks in there. But the idea of looking at your portfolio every 6 months, is nothing wrong like that. I'm not sure looking at your portfolio every day, three times a day, actually adds value.
David had a slightly different opinion.
You know, my perspective is, I enjoy knowing what's happening in the world.
Yeah, you must know what happens.
Yeah, and therefore, know what's happening, because that will give you some idea whether you need to take some kind of action. I like to follow politics. I like to keep in touch with what's happening and try and figure out what markets are doing. It doesn't mean we sell and buy every day. Not at all. Far from that. But I think that if you've got money in the market, you must at least be aware of what's happening.
Look, you have to be aware of what's happening. When I said I support the 6 months, I mean, don't look at markets every 6 months. Just look at your portfolio every 6 months. Stay in touch with markets all the time.
But don't overtrade
your portfolio.
Yeah, I mean, and as he says, it's a very valid point. If you trade on sentiments, you can get bitterly burnt. I'm not sure if those two words go together, but let's talk about EOH. Okay, EOH is then put that portfolio, and they came out with results today. They were highly anticipated. I must say, I felt, and this is my personal view, firstly, you read through two pages of this is EOH, this is our mission statement, this is who we are, this is how great we are, and then it's all the media's fault, adverse coverage, that, and macroeconomic environment, and you think, this company's learned nothing. That's my personal opinion, and I feel that they've deflected blame once again onto others. It's poor media coverage that is the result of our woes, principally, as opposed to bad decisions, bad due diligences on companies that they had to then resell, made a 400 million rand loss. They tell you they've given up margin, but they don't tell you how much. This is my little rant of the evening, so I'll stop right there. But what do you think of the result?
Look, obviously the results were disappointing, but as you correctly said, they told us that disappointing results were coming when they did their trading update. They did obviously, as you said, mention the adverse media, but there's two other aspects, maybe even three other aspects, where EOH has changed. First of all, the one aspect was their directors had massive loans against the shares, and they were huge short sellers. So that's the time when it really got tanked. It did recover after that, but it got really, really tanked on the back of guys covering literally their loans. They were massive forced sellers. But the two other factors that are really important, the old EOH model of buy cheap companies with an expensive share is gone. So your ability to grow earnings from that source has gone. Secondly, they are now facing huge problems in their government sector. Governments didn't pay, no government contracts because of uncertainty. They didn't cut the costs quick enough. If you look at their outlook statement and what they say, right, cut the costs in the government sector. Effectively they say it was like turning a light on. They are paying marked increase in government payments on their contracts, and governments are signing new contracts, and they say that the margin will come back. They've retained all of their clients, so we'll see the next 6 months. We'll see what happens.
And is that so? Then we should give them the benefit of the doubt, or maybe you hold off and you see.
Market's been very punishing. I mean, this is a share that's come back from about 140, I think, even higher. What's 170 all the way down there? This graph doesn't really show the impact of
that fall.
75%
Well, certainly makes it, far less painful. But if you go back, say, two years, then you get the sense of it.
I think they've been a little too, easy with the losses that they've made. You know, this was a big loss, as Wade says. You've written off massive amount. First of all, they're reversing those businesses and they're putting them back to the owners at massive cost. If you look at their continuing business, it seems okay, but they've got to build the credibility as well. I think the market is looking at the new team and saying, okay, how are you going to get back to where you are? Are you ever going to be establishing them? But they're off a much lower base. And Wayne was 100% right. They used their scrip in order to buy new companies.
I mean, that was the model.
And that they can't.
And the model works.
Well, it works until it doesn't. So.
But let's see. It's new management.
They've got lots of contracts. It's all annuity business. They don't have to go out every day and make their money. The money comes in. And if the government is paying and the government signing new contracts under the new administration, and hopefully the South African economy is turning around a bit, should actually be quite good for them.
Yeah. We'll see. The market's not buying it at the moment. Yeah. I think the market's not buying anything at the moment.
Yeah, to be fair. It's not buying NASPAS, for example, which had a shocker day. What would the panel's thoughts be for short-term trading on Avenge and Transaction Capital? Two very different stocks in different sectors, but looking for background and prospects for these companies.
Why do you want to do short-term trading? And why do you choose those two companies to do short-term trading? You
know, Avenge,
Avenge, if you look at that construction sector, it's been totally wiped out. I mean, absolutely wiped out. I was looking at Basil Reed's results. Yeah. I was looking at Avenge. I mean, these companies don't even make R1 billion. They're not even R1 billion companies anymore. So there is no business anymore. I thought that the bid for Murray and Roberts would create some kind of interest. I loved it that Murray and Roberts said that the price is a bit
undervalues our prospects.
50% over. I'm not sure Alan Gray has accepted the offer and is going to stand behind it, but I think you've got to be a brave man to actually say that. But I thought it might have created a little bit of interest in the sector and brought more people in and looking for value.
But okay, that's Marion Roberts, but let's try and get the share price of Avenge. AEG is the share code there. That's been volatile enough to offer a bit of a fillip if you're a trader.
Oh, yeah, but it's so hard to call that. It is just so hard.
AEG.
Yeah. It's so hard to call that. I mean, Transaction Capital is SA Taxis.
Mm. I think Transaction Capital is a very interesting business, but one for not a short-term view.
No, it's not a short-term player. They've got the collection agency.
Okay, that's the Avenge chart.
Yeah, yeah, we'll look at that.
It's horrible. Not good. In fact, actually, that's worse than I thought it was, to be honest.
No, they've been obliterated. I was shocked to see Basil Reed's market cap, I think, is below 500 million. It could even be 300 million.
Nothing.
It's absolutely nothing. I mean, this is a company that's been around for a long time, still getting contracts, still employing people, and it's not even a micro cap anymore.
Mm. And Transaction Capital, if we can bring up the chart there.
Mm. Yeah, look, I mean, it is interesting, but it is for the longer term. You know, they had a few other businesses that they got rid of and palmed out, and now it is just, as far as I know, pure taxi.
Well, they've got a debt collection business.
Yeah.
That's a better looking chart.
Yeah. Mm.
But I don't know what short term means. You know, why choose that for short term? If you like the business and you like the business model, stay with it. Now, sometimes your short term flirtations end up being long term passions. You know, you just stay with them. Yeah.
Long term passions or long term regrets, really.
Mm. Mm. EOH,
I'm sure there's some adage on what? Marry in haste and repent at leisure. I'll leave it there for the moment. If you'd like to send questions through, please do. SMS stock in the question to 41392, email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za, or tweet @businessdaytv using the hashtag stockwatch. Welcome back. Let's have a look at what's happening to U.S. markets at the moment. Last night was carnage, but things are steadying. The Nasdaq down still 0.4%, but the S&P up 0.2%, and the Dow Jones trading 0.3% to the good. Across the Atlantic, the FTSE 100 gaining 0.2% today, the CAC 40 up 0.3%, and the DAX falling 0.25%. We, of course, had a horrible session, down over 2%. Still with me in studio are David Shapiro and Wayne McCurry. And there is a question on, okay, so some companies that came out with results recently. Capitec, great results, but the shares are down. What did I miss?
Market anticipates the results. And in fact, normally when Capitec gives a earnings guidance, 15 to 18, they come out at 18. Whereas this time they said 15 to 18 and they came out at 17. So maybe a slight disappointment, but no, you didn't miss anything. It's just that maybe the market was anticipating a little bit too much.
Do you think Capitec has silenced its critics?
I think so.
I thought so. If you read through the results, the problem is that no one believes the results. You know, that's the critics don't believe the results and say that they're not stating the right figures, and the way that they got to those calculations has to be tested and has to be investigated. So that's the ongoing bear argument. But I mean, by reading through them, I thought they were very, very solid. I think one of the problems is that they're probably still expensive.
Yeah, no, I'm not talking about the...
Capitec, actually, we were doing...
I think that's why if you're going to get 15 or 18% and your multiples are over 20 or even greater than then maybe it's just running a little too hard.
So on Monday night, we were talking about the price-to-book values of the banks, and Capitec, and actually Fin24 has a great sort of calculation tool. Capitec, I think, as of these results, is about 5.5 times.
Yeah,
Barclays is about 1.6.
What is book?
Net asset value.
I was hoping you'd explain that.
Net asset value in a bank is very different to net asset value in a property company that's revalued every year. The bank's assets are never revalued. They are in there at cost. So although it is a guide, it's not quite frankly a very good guide.
Okay.
A better guide will be return on equity or return on those assets. So the NAV, watch out for NAV. In an industrial company, it's cost. In a bank, it's cost. In a life company, it's revalued each year, each 6 months. And in a property company, it's revalued each 6 months. So they're very different concepts. So be cautious. But it is a guide. But it's not a terribly good guide. In other words, APSA can generate an 8% return on capital, so therefore they're at a 30% premium to book. Capitec is generating a 28% return on capital. So therefore, they had 5 times book.
Mm. Okay. It's too much math going on.
Wayne's worked this all out before.
They are generating more return on the assets they've got than other banks.
Capitec's return on equity is 27%, which is streets ahead of the others.
Yes.
It's a very confusing argument, and it's I have the same argument with the intangibles. Everybody goes at Aspen's intangibles.
Look, intangibles are interesting. You have to have intangibles if you're doing acquisitions, because if you didn't buy something that's intangible, you wouldn't be buying the company, because then you could just replicate it. But the intangibles are only worth the return you can generate on those assets. So if you buy a whole bunch of intangibles and have a 3% return, you pay too much and you must write the intangibles down.
Well, the market,
but if you're generating
that
18%, it's a different story.
Yeah, but the market, what I'm saying is the market does that.
The
market
in the market price.
Therefore, stop fretting about the intangibles. The market's already valued them. So push that aside and look at what they're generating on those intangibles. It's like a license, like a driver's license.
Now you've completely lost me.
No, you buy a license. It allows you to drive. You buy a license. It allows you to generate, to make the product. So, you know, how do you value those? The market does it. The market's very bright and very clever.
Thank goodness.
So the CFAs who analyze the companies.
David, I agree with you. One thing, the market's very wise and very clever over the longer term. In the shorter term, the market can be incredibly stupid.
That's a relief.
As we all are.
Panel, please help me here. Anchor came out with horrible results, and the price just keeps on going up. What gives?
I just put the share price up there.
Okay,
let's get the visual.
Okay, well, we will have the longer term, and that will show you the full horror of. I think it's coming up.
It hasn't been good. When was it listed? 2 years ago? A year ago?
I think there are only a couple of shares that kind of match Anchor's performance.
And okay,
One has to be Sasfin, and the other has to be Signia. We're all in the same boat. All come down drastically this year.
Brait's
are different. These are all financial companies, you know, all in the financials.
All right, so it's up 2-3%, but it's trading at 455.
It's come from 1,700 all the way down to 400. So I think it's bouncing off a very low value, but I mean, it's been a it's been a horror show for them, yeah.
But does that mean it's turning now and the market is starting to find, it's starting to find favor with the market once again?
No, I think it's just a tough area to be in. I mean, there might be buyers coming in at these very low levels, but this, we're in a tough industry. In a very, very, yeah, very, very industry. Difficult to make kind of
margins
money.
Margins are under pressure everywhere. Yeah.
So would you buy any financial services company that's in sort of asset management?
It's a hard one. It's a hard question. Tough industry.
Well, you've got, and you've got the market down today, so your performance, we don't charge performance fees.
But your fees come down because they're based on asset values.
So if asset values come down, your
returns come down. So the market falls 2%, your income for the year falls 2%.
Okay.
Poor old Meg, this also, you know, she's had a rough time lately as well.
Rough time. Been through the Twitter ringer. Stock market's not her friend. No. It's not great. Please ask the panel whether they think AB InBev is a good buy at current levels.
Yeah, probably at these levels.
Look, if we are heading for stock market volatility, this is the one you want to. People still drink beer.
Yeah. I mean, you've been on various road shows across the country, Wayne.
Yep.
What happens on the roadshow stays on the roadshow.
Their results are pretty good. I think we're starting to see a turnaround, synergies. Particularly in Brazil. So you can't fault their results, but I think just sentiment's been against them.
But the price, I mean, put the share price up, the price has come under pressure.
I mean,
it was my last stock pick, wasn't it?
It's been so long since you've been here that I've forgotten. But we're trading at about 1,200, 1,300,
or whatever. They've been under a lot of British. All the top shares have been under severe pressure. Rand hasn't been helping them either.
Okay, there we are. Below 900 Rand.
If you would have switched your SA Breweries money into this, you've lost everything. Remember, some bright people like me did that.
They paid you a huge amount.
No, we did.
SAB was up 50% because of them.
Mm. Okay, so you think it's worth...
I think you're starting to look... A lot of these businesses at the top end of the market are starting to look cheap and attractive for the first time.
You know, Rand strength doesn't last forever. They're not bad.
There's a question on private tertiary education stocks like Stadio. Are they likely to perform well over the long term, given immigration out of South Africa?
Yeah, look, they Stadio, and I think maybe a few of them quoted revenue is not so good because people are immigrating,
semigrating, and also just can't afford.
No, look, they've got models here. Look, I think this is a good sector to be in. Because as long as you can deliver a product at the right price, there's virtually unlimited demand there. I think it's a good sector.
Mm-hmm. I like Advatec. And I was surprised to see that Advatec is actually keeping up with Cura. You know, Cura has come back quite a lot.
Yes, it has.
Let's take Stadia out of it.
Stadia is very new listed.
Yeah, and it's... But I think overall, I think you're getting much better value in Advatec at the moment.
I mean, if you go back...
That's a short-term chart. I think if you go back over the longer term... You've got some very, very good yields out of Advatec, and it's their one. That's a much better indication of how you would have,
It feels catastrophic in the share price falling now, but look back in 2008. Mm. You know, it felt the same.
Mm. And interestingly, so I spoke to you for an article I did for the Financial Mail on Kuro versus Advatec. If you go back to when Kuro first listed, and I think it was at 508 cents a share. Kuro's performance is clearly massive. So it's gone from 5 Rand, even from its peak at about 51 to where it is now in the 30s, it's up about 500 odd percent. And Advatec, I think, is only up about 200%. But over a 3-year period, Kuro's up 68%, Advatec's up 131%.
And Kuro was trading at multiples of over 100. Now, if you're going to have a multiple of 100, a PE of 100, you better be increasing your profits by 100%. And for a short time, they did that. Now suddenly it's getting much more difficult. So profits are 15, 20, 25, whatever it is. Therefore, you're starting to see the rating come back to meet those earnings. So you're gonna find Kura under pressure for some time. Also, they're not generating enough cash to actually continue.
Well, they never generate enough cash.
So they still got to go to the market to raise money.
So then what is the point of you owning them?
No, there's no point.
Good long-term growth, yeah.
Okay, two totally different opinions, yeah.
PSG owns
current share price, it's fine.
The listing of Rainet Offshore, well, RNI. I think the consolidation rather has cost me 69 rand per share if I sell now. Was it such a hot idea? I've just sold all my Rainet shares and it was not a happy event. why is Rainet? So would you sell your Rainet now if you incur such a loss?
Not because of British American Tobacco. I think British American Tobacco also starting. I think generally, globally, tobacco shares have been under pressure because of regulatory issues, but I think they're starting to look very attractive at these levels. Altria, Philip Morris, British American Tobacco. British American Tobacco particularly, that's RNI, I think is starting to look exceptionally attractive now. They also came under pressure with this whole interest rate issue because they're big dividend payers.
Yep.
So where are you going to get interest rates going up? It affects the dividend stocks, and they came under pressure for that. But I don't think we're going to see anywhere near the kind of interest rate hikes that are being suggested or that the market's suggesting. You know, three in the US and another two. I think it's going to be a lot less than that. Just feeling the momentum in the market at the moment.
Well, you just check out inflation and you get the answer. Yeah. There doesn't seem to be excess demand for consumer goods, I must admit. So maybe inflation expectations should be brought back a little bit. Maybe it's not as bad as what everyone anticipates. But interest rates are going up because you're starting from such a low base.
Yeah. I've got to get to stock picks. Haven't left you too much time.
Nice pass.
So
price has fallen.
6.3% down today. You feel it's worth picking up where it is?
Yeah, why not? Down massively off its peak. We'll see.
With good reason?
Yeah. It was very expensive at its peak. Yeah.
Okay. David?
I think Facebook looks very attractive. I know they've got they're under a lot of pressure at the moment, but they've got very good management in Sheryl Sandberg and in Zuckerberg. They'll sort it out. They'll sort the privacy.
I think they're going to tie themselves up in knots before Congress. you know, they're already adjusting privacy settings.
It's not going to stop people using Facebook. Admittedly, the youngsters don't use it, but I still think from a business point of view, they're still going to dominate advertising. So you're not going to find companies like Facebook that are still going to grow at 20, 25%. Yes, they might not be doing the 50%, but they're still growing at levels which other companies can't match. So you're going to get them, you know, they're under a bit of weakness now. You'll get them levels now, which I think are going to present very good value. Mm. Don't buy today. Okay. I'm saying just put the pin in the board. You know.
I don't know if we actually had the chart up of Facebook, if it came.
No, I don't know what came up there. I saw a lot of trying.
It did come up. No, it did
it's just
come up.
F, I think. You know?
FB.
No, Facebook, the chart did come up.
Okay, well, we'll leave it there. David Wayne, thanks very much for joining us this evening. David Shapiro is from Sassman Securities. Wayne McCurry is from Ashburton Investments. And we'll be back with Stockwatch tomorrow night at 7:30. Got to get to stock picks. Haven't left you too much time.
Nice pass.
So
price has fallen.
6.3% down today. You feel it's worth picking up where it is?
Yeah, why not? Down massively off its peak. We'll see.
With good reason?
Yeah. It was very expensive at its peak. Yeah.
Okay. David?
I think Facebook looks very attractive. I know they've got they're under a lot of pressure at the moment, but they've got very good management in Sheryl Sandberg and in Zuckerberg. They'll sort it out. They'll sort the privacy.
I think they're going to tie themselves up in knots before Congress. you know, they're already adjusting privacy settings.
It's not going to stop people using Facebook. Admittedly, the youngsters don't use it, but I still think from a business point of view, they're still going to dominate advertising. So you're not going to find companies like Facebook that are still going to grow at 20, 25%. Yes, they might not be doing the 50%, but they're still growing at levels which other companies can't match. So you're going to get them, you know, they're under a bit of weakness now. You'll get them levels now, which I think are going to present very good value. Mm. Don't buy today. Okay. I'm saying just put the pin in the board. You know.
I don't know if we actually had the chart up of Facebook, if it came.
No, I don't know what came up there. I saw a lot of trying.
It did come up. No, it did
it's just
come up.
F, I think. You know?
FB.
No, Facebook, the chart did come up.
Okay, well, we'll leave it there. David Wayne, thanks very much for joining us this evening. David Shapiro is from Sassman Securities. Wayne McCurry is from Ashburton Investments. And we'll be back with Stockwatch tomorrow night at 7:30. We'll be right back.